Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5? Perhaps it's absolutely no coincidence that we are sharing about peacemakers. Those who stood as vets, I pray that you are also God's peacemakers. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Matthew chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. We've read many of these before, and we're going to add to it verse 9 today. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Show us your understanding of your word, that we might not be hearers only, but obediently be doers of your call. Thank you, Father, for these here today, all soldiers of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We talked a little bit last week about what a peacemaker was and what a peacemaker wasn't. Just as a reminder, I'm going to remind you that peacemaking is never to be confused with pacifism. Amen? Pacifism. I said it wrong. Pacifism. Just because you make peace doesn't mean that you don't stand against what is wrong. We have never, not one time, been instructed to run away from conflict. That's why I'm so thankful for our veterans. Because if all we were to be those who tout pacifism, America would be a communist nation. Or worse. We're not to hide from conflict like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand, so to speak, hoping that the problem will just go away. And remember this. Being a peacemaker for God is not just getting along at any price. God's peacemaking and God's peacemaker is someone who actively is seeking to reconcile people to God. And folks, that takes somebody who will stand. That takes courage. Amen? That takes stamina. We are to be actively seeking to reconcile people to God. I want you to look at that scripture again. If you've got your Bible open there, if not, just listen. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peace, what? Makers. It didn't say, "Blessed are the peace hopers. Blessed are the peace wishers. Blessed are those who write about it." It said, "Blessed are the peace, what? Makers." You're to be a maker. You're to be a peacemaker. That means you were active. It doesn't say that you just sit around hoping it's going to happen. But we must, without fail, help those around us to peace. Peace with God. Because that is the only ultimate peace. You can have a quiet life on this earth and have a terrible eternal existence. That's why we are peacemakers for God, not just for this world. Because folks, without reconciliation to God, any other type of peace you want to talk about is a farce. Will we be peacemakers for God. And I'm going to tell you, as with all of the Beatitudes, you can't do this on your own. You can't do this. You've got to have help. You've got to have God's help. Why? Because peacemaking, like every other beatitude we've been called to do and to be, every one of these is a divine work. It's a work of God. And of course, we know Jesus did it best. That's why he's our example. Jesus was and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen? He is our Prince of Peace. Listen to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and how fitting that it's entering into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season as we share this verse, because it's one you know. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. His name will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Prince of what? Peace. That's our Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Christ is not the Prince of the worldly. Christ is the Prince of God's kingdom, the Prince of God's peace. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the only one who made it possible for you, for me, and everybody else to be reconciled to God the Father. Without him, it doesn't happen. Now it says, blessed are the peace makers, for they shall be called what? The sons of God. That's a particular statement here that we need to stop and look at. And the Greek language has several words that it uses for a child or an infant or a little one. There are several. I'm going to talk about three this morning. The first one we're going to talk about is technos, T-E-K-N-O-S, technos. It's the word that is used most often for a baby or for an infant, and it means this child is a product of the parent. If it belonged to that parent, the parent would say, this is my technos, my child. Product of our marriage. There's another word, and it's technion, and it just means a little child. It just means a small one. It could be somebody running around on the street, and you can say, well, there's a technion, but you wouldn't call that one out there your technos because they didn't belong to you. Are you with me? This means yes. This means no. Are you with me? Yes, okay. There's another word we're going to talk about this morning, and it's oios. It's said so fast it's hard to understand, so I'm going to slow it down in good old Texas fashion and let you see it. Oios. Is it up there? You see it up there? Oios. That is a Greek word, and that's the word that's used here when it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the what? Oios. Good. Of God. Sons of God. The oios. And it means much more than just being a child of God. Oios means we are a child, we're a product of the Father, but it also means so much more. It means that we are everything that our parent is, everything that our parents are, that we as the oios reflect the values of our parents, reflect the morals of our parents, that they are so closely related and identified, child and parent, that what the parent thinks, the child thinks, that what the parents believe, the child believes, that their morals and their values are the same. Does that make sense to you? Because it's important that you understand what oios is. Because you see, the Sadducees, Pharisees, all those religious leaders crucified Jesus Christ for calling himself the Son of God. They crucified him not for saying he was a technos or he was a technion, but they crucified him for saying he was oios of God. Because if he had called himself the technos, the infant of born of parents, the Jews would have been okay with that. You know why? Because they felt the same thing about themselves. We are born of God. We're his children. We're his chosen, right? So they would have been fine with that. They wouldn't have had any kind of difficulty with that. But Jesus called himself Oios. I am the Son of God, and I am all that God is. And they hated him for that. They called it blasphemy. They ripped their clothing and they said, you know, he condemned him to death. Blasphemy. Now, Jesus then turns around and calls some of us, those that are peacemakers in God. You remember what we talked about last week? If you don't remember last week, go back and listen to it online. You can watch the video. You can listen to it just on the tape. But when Jesus calls some of us sons, when he calls some of these us believers oios, it means so much more than just being a child of God. I could ask you today, how many of you are children of God? And I would hope that every one of you would raise your hands. But I would have to ask you, search very deeply, are you oios? When Jesus said that they would be called the sons of God, he's referring to believers, to children that are dead to themselves and that are alive to the Holy Spirit of God. He's talking about those that carry God's values, God's morals, and God's agenda. It's different to just say, I believe, and it's totally different to actually act it out. They carry God's very best into every situation that they're involved in. That's what oios do. That is the children that Jesus is calling oios, not technos or technions. Are you with me? Sons of God. And sons of God, these peacemakers, bring glory to God. That's their purpose. And they bring glory to God by bringing peacemaking to the world. And it's not just about a quiet time around the table. It is about bringing people to an understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, where they literally repent of their sins, accept Christ as Lord, and then begin to follow him. So peacemakers are disciple makers. It's not just about having quiet time. Jesus brought glory to the Father by doing that, by being obedient, by being a peacemaker, by bringing people to know the Father. Jesus always pointed to the Father. Through his obedience, he brought glory to God. Being like his Father, that's oios again. And that's what God said about Jesus at his baptism. Do you remember Jesus' baptism? Do you remember where John, they went out in the water, and of course John tried to fight him on it. He said, I need to be baptized of you. And he says, I need to be obedient. So Jesus was baptized, and when he baptized him, recorded there in Matthew chapter 3, you remember what happened? It says that Jesus rose straightway out of the water and a dove descended down on him. And as God's voice came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. What word do you think was used there? Yeah. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my oios. He's saying my beloved son. He's saying what? What is he saying? He said, come on. He's my beloved son. That means he... Boy, ladies, no wonder you have a problem with your guys. Say, I love you. Boy, y'all are tough this morning. Maybe I should just start all over. I bet y'all get responsive if I do that right. He's saying he loves his son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He says, I not only love him, he's beloved, I approve of all he's doing because what he's doing is just like me. He's oios. Does God the Father love the Son? Of course he does. Many times through the Word it tells us that the Father loved the Son. Listen, that kind of approval is wonderful, is it not? Have you ever done anything as a child or even as a grown adult and your boss or your family or somebody says, man, that is a good job. Man, you did great. But especially when I was a child, I wanted the approval of my father. I wanted my daddy to be happy with me. That's the kind of approval from Abba, spiritual daddy, that we want, for which we should live for. That's the kind of approval we want from God, to say, this is my oios, my son, my daughter, the one who is like me. That's what God's looking for in you. That's what God's looking for in me. We were created by God for one purpose, and that was to bring him glory. And you can't bring him glory if you don't know him. You can't bring him glory if you don't belong to him. You can't bring him glory if you're not obedient to his word. That's what God wanted. He wanted us to bring him glory. But we decided from the very first beginning of man, from Adam and Eve, that we wanted more. We wanted more than just bringing glory to God. And it's happened with all of us. It's a conglomerate. We began to say, God, we want some glory for ourselves. And it all started with Satan when he came along and he told Adam and Eve, he said, hey, what does God want you to do? He wants you to what? And you can't do what? The one thing that he told them not to do? And Satan said, I've got a new deal for you. I've got a better deal for you. And they took it. And that was the beginning of sin. And folks, that is the essence of sin. Okay, I'm going to do it my own way. That's sin. Not God's way, but our way. We do it our way, and we try to take God's glory that doesn't belong to us. We try to take it. You know, whether it's Christian or whether it's secular, there are people out there who say, look what I can do. It might even happen on a baseball field. It could happen on a golf course. It could happen at work. It could happen in your family. It could happen wherever you are. And you could absolutely be saying, look what I can do. Instead of, look what God can do through me. Whether it's spiritual or secular, it matters not. We're saying, look at what I can do. That, dear friends, is bringing glory to self rather than to God. And I'm going to tell you this. God's word tells us that God indeed wants to glorify us. Oh, it says that God is not going to share his full glory, but God does want to glorify us. But how is his glory shown in us? His glory is shown in us when we are obedient to him. Isn't that how we glorify God? Jesus said, in this I know that you love me, that you are obedient to my commands. For he who loves me will obey. When we are obedient to Christ, we're obedient to God the Father, we are glorifying God. And that's when we are truly oios. Are you with me? Oios. Reflecting God so much, being so close to him, being so much like him that when the world sees us, the world sees him. And I'm going to tell you, in our own ability, that's never going to happen. Amen? But in God's ability, in God's strength, in God's spirit, it can happen. Nothing in this world, nothing in this whole existence shows us to be more truly a child of God, no more truly oios than when we glorify God in who he is, in what we say and in what we do and in what we are. Anytime we start to glorify ourselves, anytime the glory comes to us, it turns to sin because it becomes pride instead of saying, to God be the glory. God is the author of all good and perfect things. And when God pours his glory on us, and he does, we've seen it, we've felt it. You know what we're supposed to do? Turn around and go, hey, look, folks, look what God gave me. No, and then it's immediately gone, right? But when God puts his glory on us, we're to return it all to him. What a wonderful thing to have an actual gift to give to God, an actual gift to give to the Father. When you were a little kid, you didn't have any money to buy your parents gifts with. Where'd you get it? Until you got old enough to do chores or old enough to work outside the house and you got money. Listen, we all went to the store and Daddy bought something for me to buy Mama. Mama gave me some money to buy something for Daddy. Or we tried to make it ourselves. Listen, what are you going to manufacture to give to God? What have you got? You've got one thing. And that is to be and to do what God told you to be and to do and to return it to him. And God goes, I love it. That's the gift that God wants from you, to glorify him. To glorify him. And when God pours his glory out, that's our sign. Return it all to him. That's what Jesus taught us to do in John chapter 17. Listen to John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus' prayer, remember the priestly prayer, the prayer for his disciples. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Glorify the Son. Now, listen, we might say, you know, well, that makes sense because the Son is the Father. The Son is God. But listen, Jesus doesn't stop there. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son also may glorify you. Do you see what's the process here? You see how it goes? God, pour your glory on me. Because I'm so obedient, because I'm so much like you, so that, Father, I can reflect it right back to you, so that I can give you the glory. Verse 4 said, I have glorified you here on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. There is nothing that will glorify more than to do the work he's given you to do and finish it. Jesus is saying, God, Father, I've brought glory to your name. I've given you all the glory. I've been obedient. In everything you've shown me, everything that you've told me to do, I have glorified you in everything, Lord. Everything, Father. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's not enough for us to just sit in church and to sing, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. It's not enough to sing it. It's not enough to sing, how great thou art. But dear friends, it's not enough to sing those things and to talk about glorifying God and sing about glorifying God unless our lives are demonstrating that we glorify God. Now see what Jesus says there in verse 22. If you have your Bible open to John chapter 17, in verse 22, Jesus said, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Who? Who is he just praying for? The disciples. Those close-knit group around him and those who are following Jesus Christ. He says, I have given them what? The glory that you gave me. I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. What in the world is Jesus saying here? He's saying, I have taught these children of yours. I've taught them to do as I have done, which has been obedient in everything. I have shown them how to receive your glory properly, Lord. I've shared it with them. And I've shown them, Father, what they're supposed to do with it, to give it back to you. That's proper glory sharing. You know what he's saying? He said, Father, I've taken these technos of yours and I've helped them to be oyos of yours. Sounds a whole lot like Oreo. I think I like that. We all want Oreo. We should all want to be oyos. Every one of us. You need to go around this week and tell people that you want to be an Oreo. And when they ask you what you're talking about, you can explain, no, not Oreo, Oyo. And then share with them. What a wonderful way to open it. People are going to go, what are you talking about? Jesus said, Father, I taught them not just to be children that belong to you, but I taught them to be children that would reflect you. I taught them to be children that would honor you. I taught them to be children that would be obedient to you, so that when you glorify them, they will point right back to you. Now, if you're looking at your bulletin, just fold it and close it, because I left off right there. I have to come back to it another time. But I want you to understand this, that Jesus then did something after that that made all the difference. Because Jesus, after he prayed that priestly prayer and said, God, bring them together and make them one as you and I are one. After he said, God, I have been obedient to all you've told me to do. Do you remember what happened right after that? Jesus walked the Calvary Road. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus stepped up and he sealed God's covenant with man. Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. He gave his life. He died on the cross. But folks, that's not the end. Because then he rose from the dead in power over death. He paid the penalty with his blood. But then in the power over life and death, he rose from the dead so that those disciples could not just be technos, but oios. Holy Spirit-filled individuals with the power of God that looked like God and acted like God. That's the difference. Those infants that were begotten in Christ soon would be called sons of God because they acted like sons of God. What have we done to become a child of God? Now, think about this. I'm not saying the step from being infant to oios, but I'm talking about what have we done to become a child of God? Absolutely nothing that we can do to accomplish it. Nothing. It's only through the love, it is only through the mercy, and it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we come to salvation in Christ. My entrance into heaven and your entrance into heaven is based explicitly and fully on the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can be a child of God. We can be a technos. Hello? With me? We can belong to God. We can be a product of God. We can actually be born again. We can be a technos, an infant in Christ, and not return his glory. We can be a technos and not be a peacemaker, not be pure in heart, not be merciful, and go through the list of the Beatitudes. We can be an infant of God and not glorify God. We can wear the jersey and have no skills. We can wear the jersey and sit on the sidelines and claim that we're a part of the team and try to claim the glory that goes with it when we are no more a part of the team than somebody that's sitting on the opposite side. It's only by the power and strength and glory of the Holy Spirit of God that we can grow out of our infancy to become true sons of God. If you truly want to be oios, you look different. You act different. Let me ask you, are you oios or are you just wearing the jersey? Oios are peacemakers. They tear down walls. Yes, it's all those things we talked about in being an earthly peacemaker, trying to make friends, trying to be kind, trying to be gentle, doing all those things to reach out and to love our neighbor as ourselves. But never compromising God's truth. Never compromising God's truth. But we don't become peacemakers just to get along. We do it so that we can tell them of the eternal peace that comes in knowing Jesus Christ and of the eternal price that Jesus paid for them to be in heaven with the Father. Let me ask you, what kind of sacrifice are you willing to make so that others may know the eternal peace of God? Sometimes that means that we have to step up in conflict to say what you're saying and what you're believing and what you're doing is not right. Let me share with you what God's word says. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word because it brings us to a place to understand, Lord, that we just don't need to be jersey wearers. We need to be Team Christ. We need to be soldiers for our Lord. Lord, we ask and pray that you would give us an understanding, Lord, that we are peacemakers for eternity. And that's what being a peacemaker means, eternal peace. God, would you help us to be the kind that would step out in faith so that others might know of the redeeming blood of Christ. God, I want to be called a son of God. Help me, through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be strong in you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, friends, what would God have you to do this morning? To begin the day. It's not what you do later today or even tomorrow. But what would God have you do right now? Would you pray to say, God, forgive me for staying in my infancy. I've been a bottle-fed Christian for too long. God, I want to grow in you. God, I want to be a son of God, a daughter of God. I want to be oios. God, I want to glorify your name. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart. What is he asking you to do? Will you be obedient? If you're not obedient now, you won't be obedient later. What is God calling you to do? We know without a shadow of a doubt that he's calling you to glorify his name.